What is going down, everyone? It's time for MojoBreak.com, the hype episode number 159. We're here on Mojo Break Media. Make sure you smash that subscribe button to join us and watch all the content we put on Mojo Break Media. We just did a Spectra box, so be sure to check that one out. Spectra first off the line. We've got an exciting show. We're going to be talking about trolls on the internet in terms of sports cards. We're going to talk about market movers, which sports cards have gone up and should you invest in them. We're going to give you guys our opinion on that and maybe bring back Pokemon. C-Rat, how excited are you that the Raiders pulled one off against the mighty Chiefs?
Well, I love Pokemon, and I love the Raiders more. And yeah, Super Bowl bound, baby. I've been saying it for the last 20 years, and it's going to actually happen this year.
Super Bowl, huh? Super Bowl Rams and Raiders.
Rams and Raiders.
Ooh, how does that feel?
Rams Raiders, double R.
Tell you who's not going to make the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm not going to. I can't even say anything at this point. I mean, a scrub team comes into Santa Clara and scores the most points that any opponent has ever scored against
them. You know
what?
So, Dolphins look good, though.
They did.
Dolphins look good.
It's all about that Fitzmagic.
Fitzmagic, man. That guy can ball out. But yeah, good week of football. I mean, that Chiefs game, man, C-Rad. What made Mahomes look like?
He's a scrub? Former Derek Carr.
I was like, not even that good, dude. That's what I keep telling you guys for the last few years. It's not even that good, dude.
Not even that great, huh?
Not even that good.
Super Bowl hangover, maybe, for Mr. Mahomes. But in terms of football, we got a big release this week. We've got Spectra, and it's on the heels of how successful Spectra basketball was. And collectors love shiny things, and this is the product that delivers. It's got 10 hits a box. It's got a big checklist of legends, vets, and, of course, rookies. And with the emergence of Justin Herbert – and, you know, of course, Burrow, how he's playing. You got Justin Jefferson. You got his boy Ruggs. I mean, there's a lot of rookies to collect. You got the gold vinyls that just pop on the patch autos and the patches. I'm excited. So this is dropping on Friday. We've got breaks. We got randoms. We got PYTs. Today we're going to be doing the first off the line. C-Rad, you got to be pretty excited about doing that first off the line today.
Always. Always exciting time to open Spectra Football. It's one of the releases I look forward to every year. You know, it really – before this year, Spectra Basketball was just like an afterthought, right? But this year, obviously, it did well. They changed the format on it, made it more similar to Spectra Football. Lean into the colors more, which is what Spectra Football is all about. You know, Spectra is one of those products that has its own identity because of those neon colors and such. So it's always a fun release because you are getting so many hits and there's a lot of things to chase in terms of rainbow. So yeah, excited to rip it today.
Yeah, it's like a perfect group break product. I mean, the prices are going up. We've got this this pandemic parallel pricing going on, and prices continue to rise on this stuff. I mean, it's trending towards $1,000 a box, which is insane. So thank God for breaks, and thank God for being able to get into a break for like $100 or even less if you're doing PYTs. So be sure to check out the site. We're starting off the day on Friday with four Spectra breaks, so PYTs and randoms. So, Dan, how excited are you about Spectra?
Just to reiterate what C-Rad was saying, I view Spectra truly as a basketball release or a football release and not a basketball release.
Yeah.
I went opposite day. No, but I think of Spectra and I think of football. It wasn't until recently where it had the crossover. Not all releases, I say it before, not all releases have a crossover. Spectra is football. And I think they still have the crazy neon colors,
yeah,
which is very unique to Spectra,
yep,
and
yep,
football. So pretty excited to see that. You either love it or you hate it. There's no in between.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
You either hate like the bright neon blue ink
and pink
and pink and green
and green.
You either love it or you hate it. There really is, like I said, no in between. But they don't do that for right. Basketball.
Yeah, they don't lean into that as much. Even though you would think, because basketball collectors, we love our colors.
Yeah, you would think it would translate that the crazy colors and the neon colors would translate well to the basketball market. But they haven't quite done that yet. So we'll see. Maybe next year they do more different neon colored parallels. But that is a football jam, and I'm pretty excited. We're right in the middle of the football release calendar. It's coming in strong.
Coming in
we
hot.
Got XR, We have Illusions. Phoenix. We have Phoenix. All before Prism.
Yeah.
And Prism comes out in about a month. So it is all football all day.
And I think MojoBreakout.com might have some Prism up for pre-sale. You may want to get in there quick before those teams are gone.
They're flying. I saw the Seahawks get picked up. The Chiefs are gone. Looking for the Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Not Hilaire. Helaire.
No, well, I think they're looking for that third-year Mahomes.
Year Mahomes?
Yeah, or the 20th year Brady. Quick question, though. We call this the parallel era. What do you think with Spectra having these rookie parallels and rookie autographs? Is there a chance that maybe some of the parallels will outsell some of the autographs on the bigger names? What do you think? I want the chat to answer that. And what do you guys think? Do you think like a gold Joe Burrow number to 10 base card will sell for more than, let's say, a Joe Burrow autograph?
I'm going to give you some great insight here, Doug. I don't know.
Breaking news. pull back the veil, Dan.
I'm still with the fact that I think the Inspector specifically, it's going to be the patch autos that are going to be still going for more than the base parallels. So you know, if you get a nice gold vinyl or a Nebula, you know, or anything that's I love the black Pulsars in Spectra. Mm-hmm. I always think those are some of the most beautiful looking cards every year. So I'm still with the autograph patch auto first before the base. But you know, we have seen the rise in base. So who knows what we'll see in terms of how much the base goes for this year in the secondary market.
You know, and I'm surprised that Panini hasn't came up with all we have is Spectra and then Spectra first off the line. There's like no Spectra T-Mall. There's no Spectra
huddle.
No huddle. There's no Spectra fourth down. There's no Spectra interception. I mean, there's just two versions of Spectra. Yeah. They could have made maybe just a parallel set or the choice version that has
one
all
card,
number to eights.
One card.
One, yeah, the lucky packs.
I think
the one card number to eight.
For me, it feels like they probably didn't do that because of the card stock, right? It's probably more expensive for them to print up that card stock as opposed to Mosaic and Prism where they could just, like, you know.
It doesn't look like in basketball we had a 55-point card, right?
We did.
And we're not. It doesn't. It looks, at least with the first off the line,
they're staying with the 130.
Everything is 130.
Yeah.
Yeah, which may have been a mistake. I mean, I'm seeing the preview, and you can go on Panini's blog, and they did a 90 card preview. I can't tell the thickness. I mean, it looks like it's, you know, thick like normal. So. Maybe they did miss the boat in the parallel era and they made it the 100 point card. I don't know. We'll have to see.
That's a good point, because in basketball, do we know of a 130 point card, a thick card stock that's a parallel that outsells like Color Blast and Stained Glass, like the regular 35 point mm-hmm. card stock? I think in order to be a true parallel, unfortunately, I think it needs to be a regular thickness of a card. I think it needs to be a 35
or at
point.
The very least maybe a 55, but the thing
could
is like
55, but
yeah, it's also like the bouncing off that the parallel thing, it's like it's harder to get these 130s graded. Yeah. Right, so it's like cool, I got like a, obviously it's gonna be awesome to get a like gold vinyl base of Joe Burrow or something like that, but then you think about the grading process, you know, you want to get a 9.5, it's unlikely to get 9.5 just because of,
you know,
the,
what
the
you could do with that, just not get it graded.
That's true.
And then if you get a BGS
but not in the parallel
like,
era.
Yeah.
That doesn't fly in the parallel.
Yeah, they could send it to C-Rad 6.5, and if it's cool enough, it can get a 6.5.
Yeah. And the slab on it will be, you know, like 9x12. But, you know, actually, in terms of thick basketball cards, the only one I could really think of selling it was because he was an exclusive, was the Ben Simmons Spectra that sold for a decent amount. But that's because he did not have autographs because he was an Upper Deck exclusive. Maybe the Gala, but that's more of like a 100 point, right? That's not a 130 point card.
That is reaching to the that actually I think it is a 130.
Is it 130?
The only thing about the Gala, of course, is that there's only eight of them, so
true,
it's like
true. It's built in value there. Well, we got Trolling with Doug makes its return. I put my business hat on and I hit the internet and I had a question for a manufacturer. So I'll give you the backlog here. I seen this on the interwebs, on Twitter specifically, and the situation does suck where a guy got a Topps Chrome Sapphire box, and as you can see, it looks like it had been stepped on probably by FedEx, more than likely not by Topps, but more than likely with the shipping person or the company they use, whether it be FedEx, USPS, UPS, probably got put in the back of the truck, got crushed. The box is crushed. I don't know if the packs are crushed, but this guy went on Twitter and said, good morning, Tops, Tops Now, Top Shop, Top Stock. Still ticked off. 1.5 hours on hold to speak to somebody who essentially said, tough luck. He has had heard worse things happen. Zero answers. 30 years of meaningless of support. Meaningless, right? So obviously the situation could have been rectified maybe by saying, hey, send that box back. We'll send you one that's not crushed. This guy must be flipping the box, because if he was going to open the box, then, you know, maybe the packs were fine. But anyway, regardless, Upper Deck steps in. Upper Deck, who has exclusive for hockey.
I haven't heard about this.
Yeah, has the exclusive Jordan license. Has it, you know, they have it, but as far as sports, they don't make baseball cards. They make only hockey license cards at the moment when it comes to trading cards. So they said, DM us. We have a way to help. So I thought, you know, with my business hat on, I'm like, wow, that's kind of like, you know, an unwritten business rule. Like if Layton had a problem with a customer or Firehand, I wouldn't butt in. That's just me. But so I went on there under my personal account, which you can follow me at Fresh Cardboard. I don't have that many followers, so maybe you can follow me. I'm interested in finding out how Upper Deck is going to help. Are you sending hockey boxes? ? They responded to me with saying, we do more than hockey. The hobby is one big community. We are happy to step in to help to remain the collector's choice. The collector's choice. We all remember that from the 90s, right? And I said, feels like a troll move, though. You guys are top-notch. Don't get me wrong. Why butt in on Topps' problem, right? So they responded to me right away, and they said, no real ulterior motives here. Just happy to do the right thing for the collector. And at that point, all the fanboys were just like, great job, Upper Deck. We love you. You guys are great. Give us the license. Topps sucks. Give us a license. And I'm just like, so at that point, I just said, great. Leonardo DiCaprio, Wolf of Wall Street meme in there. I said, great, great. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, like, that's kind of shady. You know, that's kind of shady. Like, just let Topps handle the problem. Stay in your lane, because you can't say that Upper Deck's never had a printing error, that's never had a package that's gotten damaged. Would they like Topps, Leaf, Panini to jump in on their stuff? I just don't get it. I mean, maybe it's one thing if that person who's running the Upper Deck Twitter maybe DM'd them and felt sorry for them and said, hey, we'll send you something on behalf of Upper Deck. But to actually go out there and step in on a problem that Topps is having, I particularly don't like it, and I don't understand it. So I wanted to get your guys' opinion on this. What do you think? I mean, do you think that's okay? Do you think they had no ulterior motives? To me, the ulterior motives is like, hey, they messed up, and we're going to jump in, and maybe they'll start buying hockey cards.
I think if the situation was reversed, Upper Deck would be pretty upset about either Topps, Panini, or Leaf, or any other manufacturer getting involved in their situation. Granted, Topps did not do what they should have done to, you know, take care of a customer of 30 years. You're telling me they don't have a chrome sapphire box laying around. They could basically send out a return label to the person and say, hey, go ahead and send that one back to us, and we'll send you another one. I mean, easy to fix that problem, right? Instead of saying, tough, sucks to be you, better luck next time.
I don't agree with what Topps did.
They do that, and nobody has to step in. Basically, Topps gave Upper Deck a softball to jump in and say, hey, look at their customer service. We do a lot better than that. Don't give your competitor an opportunity to step in and make you look bad.
That's a good point.
That's the only ones I usually have.
My 10 cents about this particular thing is I've actually seen this between big corporations on Twitter. You see it all the time in the fast food industry. They clown on each other all the time. They jump into each other's, like, if the customers have an issue, one, they're like, come over here, we got you. Our nuggets are better. Yeah, exactly. So I have seen it from it does feel like it was an opportunity for Upper Deck to kind of be like, come over here, baby. You know, like, we'll take care of you. You know
what
I'm saying?
Sweet talking, girl.
Yeah. So it's interesting that this actually, I was like, wow, when it popped up, like, I was like, that's kind of spicy. I have seen other And it's video games too, same thing. Sony and Microsoft has always had these little light jabs towards each other if they had a misstep, in a public misstep. And whereas, like, if a company is, like, screwing up on something, they'll put out a meme or a tweet on Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, this is basically, for a lack of a better phrase, just going in and pissing in Topps' Wheaties.
It is.
Yeah.
That's basically what they're doing. I mean, again, Topps could avoid that by just sending another box. And honestly, not sending another box. Just send – you can email a return label.
Yeah.
You get the crush box back, and you could basically do – you know, Instagram promos with it or Twitter. It's not going to go in the garbage. You're going to be able to utilize it somehow.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you're telling this customer that, sorry. And regardless of what the customer was going to do, if they're going to flip it or if they're going to open it, that doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah.
The fact is that, yeah, I get it. FedEx or whoever they use to ship it, they screwed up. But that is, unfortunately, even in our industry, in our sector, that's a part of doing business. Yeah. When FedEx or UPS or USPS, they damage a card, we don't just basically tell the customer, well, we didn't do it.
Right.
We always try to figure out what we can do to make it better. We may not be able to replace the exact card, but we'll figure out a solution.
And you got to figure there is a percentage of this that's going to happen. I mean, especially with Topps, and they're probably sending out 100 times more than what we're doing, especially with the Sapphire and the raffle, right?
Yep.
There was 10,000 boxes.
We were talking about that in another episode, where it's like the more people got the chance to get this box, whereas, and if they just did a regular online release, it'd just be all the bots that got it, right? So
exactly. So how many damaged boxes is going to be 0.0002%, which is going to be maybe 10 to 20 boxes get damaged. So there's going to be, no matter how great you package stuff, it's going to happen. So that's why I feel like, you know, and you guys are right. The customer service should have been better. They should have stepped in.
No, if I was Topps, I would be mad too. Like, I feel like any company in their position would be mad if their competitor stepped in.
I don't love it being taken to Twitter.
Yeah. I mean, Topps probably didn't even notice this, to be honest with you. But
that is the world we live in now, where everything's going to be put on social media. It's a leverage play. It always feels like it's a leverage play. It's out in the open. If you don't go above and beyond, it's out in the open how poorly you handle the situation. But that is, everybody has to adapt to that. That is the world we live in now.
Yeah.
I mean, and you're right. On the social media world we're in, that stuff happens. But if you kind of put that in like real life, that would be a scenario where there's somebody standing outside of a store. Let's just say the store is
standing in the store.
Yeah. You're literally standing in the store. You see an irate customer, and you're just waiting for an irate customer to be like, "Well, we do the same thing. Check us out."
Oh,
you know,
man. I worked retail for a long time, and we had some competitors. I'll tell you right now, in my retail industry, it wouldn't go down like that. It would go out in the parking lot. You'd basically be like, okay, cool, man. We're going to go outside, and we're going to basically have a little discussion about this.
Yeah. Man to man. So, yeah, I mean, take it for how you see it. I mean, like I said, I would never, and I think I can speak for all of us in this room, we would never handle our business that way. Just, you know, regardless of how badly somebody messed up, I think it's, I don't know. I just think it's just too low brow to do that, honestly. I mean, I think it's, you know, if they're that scorned, then they're going to find you anyway. They're going to find you through your advertising, through your marketing. You know, obviously Upper Deck has products that Topps doesn't offer. They have the Michael Jordan exclusive. They have the LeBron James exclusive. They have the Tiger Woods exclusive. They have the hockey exclusive. So if that gentleman who is buying a Sapphire box wants to buy it a hockey, they're going to have to go to Upper Deck. So it's just, you know, let the chips fall into place.
You also you trolled him, but you also gave Upper Deck a softball by saying that, what are you going to do? They basically could have went through their whole catalog of stuff that they do that's not hockey.
Oh, no.
And just, you're like, here you go, promote your brand even more. Like,
I did.
Topps probably saw that, and they're like, who's this Doug guy? Thanks, Doug.
They actually did follow me right after that, which I was flattered. I feel like I made it because the Upper Deck company did follow me personally.
They know who you are.
I don't think they do.
They know who you are.
But, I mean, we do spend a ton of money. Let's back that up.
You're the guy.
We spend a ton of money on their hockey products.
You're the guy who shows up at every event with the San Jose Giants hat. They know who you are.
No. They know you're giving me a lot of credit there.
They know who you are.
I didn't have a San Jose Giant hat on in my Instagram.
No, but though. You had your business hat on, which I don't even know what that is. Maybe it is the San Jose Giants hat. Did
well,
you put
actually,
that hat on? Because that is your business hat.
Actually, to be, I didn't even think of this. I'm actually standing behind a Topps sign with Ken Griffey Jr. on my avatar. So they're probably like, well, is this guy a Topps employee at first? They might have thought I was a Topps employee.
Well, you are Doug Topps.
Doug Topps. That is my middle name. Maybe I need to change my maybe I'll put the Mike Madonna
dang,
photo.
You're heck of representing Topps.
I didn't even think about that. But yeah, it was like, Ken Griffey Jr., which actually was.
Used to be Upper Deck.
Yeah.
You're like ultimate troll. You're like, remember this guy? Remember this guy? You guys used to have this guy back here, but now
he's a transcendent party. Yeah, maybe that wasn't a good look. But maybe I'll change it to, you know what? For a week, I'm going to change it to some photo I took at the Upper Deck party.
Mike Tyson.
There you go. Even though I was like probably 30 pounds heavier then. But, you know, I'll put it on there just to show, you know, that, I'm bipartisan here.
Just kind of fit right in.
So anyways, we've got some more trolling going on. I always find this stuff funny, how angry people are on the internet. It just never ceases to amaze you.
And as the hobby grows, those comments get thicker and thicker, bro.
Huge.
Like I go to Panini now, I'm like, 100 comments. I'm like, they just posted this picture.
Oh,
it almost, I mean, from a company standpoint, like if I, and you can't do this, but if I was Panini, I'd be like, do we really need to do Instagram anymore?
I think as a business, you probably do. But it's crazy.
Can we just go back to like doing flyers through the mail? That's like,
well, they can turn off
advertising through Beckett.
You could turn off comments, but I don't know if that.
I think I'm gonna start doing a penny saver for the Mojo Break website. Just do an ad in a penny saver. Yeah,
just local newspapers.
I'm gonna go. You gotta roll it back a little bit. Turn back the clock. Let's go old school.
Only way you can get into breaks is if you subscribe to the catalog.
No, you gotta cut out the penny saver coupon and send it to us
with your spots. What spots
with,
you want?
Well, yeah, you gotta handwritten on a 3x5 index card what spots you want. And this is gonna be easy. This is the way we should do it.
And then send out VHS tapes of the break.
Send out VHS tapes recorded. So yeah,
break, you know, break already, of the month club.
You know, it's funny because I think we've already had this conversation maybe on this show. I don't know, maybe at like one of our events. But subscription service where you fill out an index card with what teams you want. We break the video. We break it, record it onto a VHS, and then we send it to you. You have no idea what you're getting. Then you get a VCR tape. You put it in. You check out the break. And then we ship out your cards in about 17 months.
Yeah, by a carrier pigeon, by a horse and carriage.
No, hand-delivered.
Hand-delivered,
the
okay.
Shipping department will be doing a lot of traveling.
It's super exclusive. I mean, we're all going back into the nostalgia. Why not take it full on nostalgia, right? I mean,
actually, dude, not even a video, just a tape, an audio tape of the break.
No, and we could progress with it.
And the Bengals got a Tyler Eifert base,
and then
card number 183.
Describe it. You're like, this thing's really sharp. Corner's a little ding. Can't see it, but just take my.
Oh man, we're missing a hit. No, but you can progress. You can do 10 years of VHS, and then you can move on to Laserdiscs, and then you can move on to, and then you got like 30 years. Then you're on to the regular DVDs.
The longer the customer, the higher the tier. So you start at audio tape, and then you go to VHS,
Laserdisc.
Then you go to Laserdisc. Then you go to DVD. Then you
Blu-ray,
4K.
No, Blu-ray. Then streaming maybe. Then you get part of the club. You get to watch it live
on Blog TV.
On Blog TV.
That would be fine. Only 10 minutes at a time. Yep. But yeah. So all right. Well, there's angry people on the internet every day. But we like to point out which ones are angry at the sports card. So a recent Lakers set, 2020 NBA champions. I guess we got to give them a clap. Congrats, LeBron, for getting that Mickey Mouse ring.
The king.
I got another one.
The king.
Which supposedly this limited edition set sold out right away. They still have the Chiefs and the Warriors one available, but this one sold out right away. Well, I don't know why. But anyways, this person said, why can't we buy cards in stores any longer? So that was, well, you know, it was online exclusive. You're online right now. That's... kind of answered your own question, but then there it is again. Why can't we buy cards in stores any longer? Another person's like, where in your website, question mark.
In your website.
Where in your website?
Inside the machine.
You should have
I've been shaking my computer and nothing's coming out.
You should have a better management on your company. It's almost impossible to buy any cards for your website. Thumbs down emoji.
In your website.
In your website. Only a few people buy all your cards and sell them for 10 times more than what they paid. Exclamation mark. Only a few people sold 10 times more than they paid.
At least it wasn't capitalized.
Hey, I know. There actually is no caps on these ones. Do something about this or good luck with keeping your customers. You get thumbs down, thumbs down for customer service. Yeah, two thumbs. At least it wasn't five for customer service. And this is all on this Laker thing. There was hundreds of replies. When will y'all respond to my redemption I submitted in July? Has the player signed it? I don't know. Come on, Panini. Pay up on your redemption cards. People paid good money for your products to wait 1 year. So this person's assuming that Panini doesn't have the money to pay the athletes. Is that what it is?
Or he wants them to give them more money on top of their contract to get the card back
or
faster.
Maybe – no, you know what he means? He means pay up because he needs to get paid.
Pay
up to me on my redemption.
Both you guys lost me. I have no idea. I think he's just upset he didn't get a redemption.
Well, yeah. And then why do redemptions take 240 days? I mean, he might as well put 240 days,
why not
13 hours and 45 seconds.
Well, I wonder if he had one that got fulfilled in 240 days.
So
exactly. Yeah. Because he counted the days.
Yeah, he counted the days, and
he's crossing off the calendar.
Oh, here we go. He's like, we don't get this soon, I'm going to have to get another calendar because we're going through into another year here.
Damn, my Bowl redemption from the early on in the year. Then he had that game, and I'm losing all that money, and it's 240 days. And then
actually, I think when you – there, it's a six-month option. What if that's what he's basing it off of? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, 6 months. That'll be 180 – well, no. 180 days.
Yeah, 180.
Yeah, I don't know. So yep. that would be eight. No, that's 8 months because they gave you the 8 months.
Yeah,
yes.
So it's like
it's a 4 to 8 month
process.
Yeah,
4 to 8 months.
Okay, that's what he means. Okay, well, see, we figured it out. And then this one on a Bryce Harper, Topps Game Within the Game showcases the amazing performance by top MLB players with new artist by Paul Genis. Blah blah blah. This person says getting a redemption code fulfilled is a game within a game. Which is probably one of the more creative troll jobs. I appreciate that one.
Yeah, that was actually pretty funny.
It is good. He's got the raccoon face. It's nice.
Game within the game.
And then this one was maybe a little tasteless. You got Bob Gibson joins the MLB Living Set, which is modeled after the 1953 design. All proceeds will donate to Stand Up to Cancer. The guy responds, "That's great. So do I still get charged $10.99 for only one card?" Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It says it right on the site. I mean, I think the price is on there. It's not a guessing game on the price. The price is on there when you check out. But let's rain on Bob Gibson's parade. Rest in peace, by the way.
And the people that need the money for research, cancer research.
Exactly. And then you got Walker Buehler joins Randy Johnson as the only MLB pitcher to strike out at least 7 batters and 9 straight postseason starts. And then the guy says, "Piss off and ship your items better."
Wonder if that's the guy with the Topps Chrome Sapphire.
It might be. He's taking it all avenues to try to get his Topps Chrome Sapphire. That pretty much does it for what we found on the internet. There's many more out there. And if you guys find some funny ones that we need to mention, hit us up at MojoBreakM on Twitter for MojoBreak Media, and we'll put this on one of our shows. Always fascinates me. Good read, good fodder to look and see how angry people get. And
people,
I know
people are toxic, bro.
It stresses me out. I don't want to do this segment again. It makes me sad inside.
Why does it stress you out?
It stresses me out.
Some people live for that toxicity.
I remember a time before social media. It was glorious. I want to go back to those times.
What about the times before cell phones?
Oh, love that. You know, it was a couple, like probably 5-6 years ago, I lost my cell phone or broke my cell phone, and I went a week without a cell phone. It was glorious.
You felt great, huh?
It was amazing. Like, I wasn't staring at it. I wasn't staring at anything the whole time. Like, nobody can get a hold of me. I was, like, kind of off the grid. It's beautiful.
Liberating.
Simpler times, man. we could go back. Let's go back.
Well, you know,
I think we're too far gone now.
I don't know. Me personally, and I'm not saying I don't get mad about bad customer service, but when I get mad about bad customer service, it's over the phone with somebody. I am talking to them, and I'm angry about something. They have a chance to rebuttal. They have a chance to fix the problem. This way, there's just no point other than making the company look bad. There's really no point of acting this way on social media. There's nothing solving it. You're wasting your time, other than giving us content, which is great. I appreciate that. But, like, you know, just call the I mean, I know at Tops it's hard to call them and stuff like that.
I think the issue is that it's kind of hard to get in contact with these people.
Yeah, it sounds like you just want to be a customer rep for all these companies. Like, maybe –
How much would it take for that
like,
job?
No, how about this? How about we do this? Since you love this so much and stresses me out. How about every customer service call just gets forwarded to your personal cell phone between all manufacturers? Imagine if you basically spent your day, you're like, you know what? I'm going to answer every single one. I'm going to answer every one.
Hey, we got to pop that open one day, bro.
Man, that's what I would be
Shout
doing.
Out to Haas for that Milagro.
Yeah, I'll help you out.
Damn,
you beat me down. It wasn't my fault.
It's like every conversation would be like, I'm missing a Jordan Yamamoto, or I got a damaged Jordan Yamamoto auto.
Where's my Julio Jones rookie?
But, okay, so we don't have any more Jordan Yamamotos, but what teams do you collect? I don't collect teams. I just collect Mike Trout. I collect Luis Robert.
Fernando Tatis.
Babe Ruth, like any cuts. it's just you can never win. Like Doug would be like, I don't got those guys. I got Jalen Davis for you.
Yeah.
I got a Jalen Davis.
Jerry Brown.
I got
Yeah.
But it's something that you just, from a manufacturer standpoint, they can't win. They literally can't. They can't over-deliver on every customer service issue. Mm-hmm. They just can't do it. You physically can't do it.
But, there should be a way for them to be better. There should be a way for them. And I don't know. We just had an incident last night with Walmart. And they must farm out their customer service to somewhere that's not in America. It was typing, so I don't know. But we basically ordered a Halloween costume for my daughter, which was actually from a third party, because Walmart does that. They have third party people selling on their website. And we noticed that my wife put in the address for here, but in the zip code for her mom's house and the city for her mom's house. And it went through. So immediately, 2 minutes later, we basically messaged them through their customer support, and they're like, we can't change the address, but we can wait until the package ships, and then we can try to get the correct address on there, or we can cancel it. But there was only one item left, so we're like, we just ordered it, though. Like, we can't. It's going to have to ship out with the address that's on it. And it's just like...
I get it. There's a lot of moving parts with a company that big with the amount of shipments that they do. I
just felt like there should have been somebody at the helm that said, okay, cool, what's your address? Got it. That's it.
No. Dude, imagine Walmart. How many transactions online does Walmart do an hour? After a process is 5 minutes, it's probably already in queue
Very
and already
true.
Be getting picked and like shipped already. There's probably 17 people that have already had a hand in that package.
I mean, the reason I bring it up is because I think that they're going with the farmed out approach where a person doesn't have the access to do it. And that's probably what Tops or Panini would do. Which may make matters worse.
The thing is that this is what's happened with society with Amazon Prime and everything. Now we're getting completely off topic. This is like not even a sports card show anymore.
Hey, it's all fun.
Everybody wants anything right now. Well, you can't have everything right now and then have top-notch customer service at the same time. There's going to have to be a drawback somewhere. You're either not going to get it as fast as you want it, and there's going to be less moving parts, and they can accommodate you with changing an address. But it's going to take a while. But you're not going to be able to – and everybody wants it like, I want it next day.
Yeah.
I want it next day, but I want you to – if I need to get a hold of you, I want you to basically be able to walk me through any part of the transaction. This is what happens. This is what we get.
Yeah, and the tough part, especially with redemptions, is regardless if they have the card or not, most of the time they're waiting for the athlete, right? So, and they can't force the athlete to sign. They maybe can't give somebody, like, you know, with Zion's in the chat saying he's got a Kobe Bryant redemption. Well, obviously that's tough to fulfill now, but when he redeemed it, he was probably still around. You know, he's still – rest in peace, Kobe. I'm not downplaying that situation. But, you know, what can Panini give you now to give you the same value of a Kobe Bryant if they don't have it? So it's like almost like a no-win situation. Now, maybe they can give you some wax to maybe do it, but then if you don't get, you know. So it's a tough situation if an athlete, that situation is even crazier because the person's not around to sign anymore. But, like, people that are busy, like playing in the NBA or in the bubble, they're not able to sign. Maybe they're refusing to sign. Maybe they're having their mom sign, like in the Luka situation. I mean, it's a situation that it is really hard for Panini, Topps, Upper Deck to really get behind.
And I'm not saying you do this, but what if somebody did? What if somebody was like trolling all the redemption issues, right? And let's say Doug's Duels, and say we know that's a big manufacturer in the game, came out and was like, we'll honor your expired redemption from another manufacturer.
Right.
That essentially, that's kind of what Upper Deck did to Topps. But yeah, like, exactly. What if you were like, send me your expired redemption from said manufacturer and we'll send you out a box.
Yeah.
I mean, that's trolling. Yeah. That's trolling. I'm surprised no manufacturers actually tried to get into the market of honoring other manufacturers' expired redemptions. Not honoring them, but like replacing them for them.
Yeah.
And trying to get those customers that way.
Yeah, I mean, any Kobe auto would do. You got to think they have some Kobe autos, but do they have like 100 Kobe autos and they have 800 redemption spending? That's the tough thing, right? And VGLN's mentioning that he's been waiting for Marvin Bagley. Yeah, 10 months on a Marvin Bagley, that doesn't make a lot of sense. What's Marvin Bagley doing? They didn't even go to the bubble, right? So I don't know. I mean, maybe a situation like, I don't know, maybe 5-6 people hit Marvin Bagley up on Twitter. I mean, would that like say, hey, you know, maybe these athletes aren't knowing that, you know, it's fans waiting for their autographs. It's like they're thinking Panini as a company is waiting for their autographs. I don't know what the solution is to get these guys to sign.
Yeah, some athletes just don't give a AF.
Yep.
About signing cards.
But that's also another thing, and I think these manufacturers can go above and beyond with expired redemptions. I think they are kind of narrow-minded with the fact that, like, if it's a redemption and we're, like, they put a cost on that redemption, what that athlete it costs to sign that card, and they put a value on it, why don't they just go, you know what, open up a box of Optic Basketball and say it's a Marvin bag to be like, we'll send you 10 packs of Optic Basketball. Like, would you prefer that? Or, like, try to figure out and be creative.
I heard they were trying to do something like that,
like,
but
be,
I don't know.
Be creative and try to, like, help these customers out who have these redemptions. As manufacturers, you talk about how frustrating it is having redemptions in your product, and you don't want to have redemptions in your product. And unfortunately, sometimes you're forced to have redemptions in your product. I get it. But when it's been 10 months or it's been 12 months or it's been 2 years, wipe the slate clean. Figure out, if you do not have that card, figure out something that you can do to just be done with the situation.
Yep. And yeah, a couple points in the chat before we move on. Max brings up a good point that he says he gets pissed when they have a player autos in the next year's product, but they didn't fulfill the redemptions for the previous years. And I agree with that. It almost seems like, we've already made the money on that release. We're already in the next year. Like, we need to make this set, so we got to put these autos in there. That is frustrating. Yeah, when the guy's become a redemption for 3 years, then you're like, okay, well, he's just not signing. But why put him in a product when he's a redemption in something else? So that does suck. And yes, Ron mentions they do some stuff with white boxes at the summit, at the NSCC, the National, that you can, you know, turn in expired redemption or long withstanding redemptions.
But not everybody can go to the National.
There almost should be a time period, like if it exceeds a year. Now, these people are put on priority. We got to contact these people and figure out a way to solve
I think it basically there has to be a compromise between the customer and the manufacturer. I think there has to be a dialogue there where you can't basically say, if it's a basketball card, you can't be like, I only collect Zion autos. Right. I only collect Ja Morant autos. I only LeBron James, like high-end LeBron James relics. Like, you can't basically, you're trying to do the leverage play. You're trying to be like, what is the most I can possibly get? How do I come up on this? With that approach, you're probably not going to get a lot from a manufacturer. They're going to see through that. I think there has to be a compromise on both sides.
Yeah. Well, 3 weeks in a row, and Dan's already got the moniker of Pokey Dan, and we're going to talk about Pokemon because more hype surrounding Pokemon. Platinum Rapper, Logic, buys a $220,000 rare Pokemon card, first edition Charizard. So, you know, this is a big name. This is a guy that's got a big Instagram following. You already had the Logan Paul situation. Now you have Logic. Justin Bieber has a Pokemon collection. So this stuff is blowing up, and it's crazy. You can see that the PSA 10 first edition Charizard sold for $183 Iconic Auctions. And then you've got Logic tweeting out Logan Paul, "I'm the one that won the auction, $183K, LOL, LOL, LOL." So crazy. Bobby Bathroom Break, I don't know why he changed his name to that, but I do like Logic. He works hard every day. And he's a great rapper, but it's just kind of speaks to that 1999 era kids that are now in their late 20s, early 30s. That, and he said it himself, he's basically able to afford it now. You know, where he was a kid, he wasn't able to afford it. So he also bought a 23K Pokemon base set. He said YOLO. And then I think this is where he's talking about, yeah, when he was a kid, he absolutely loved Pokemon, but he couldn't afford the cards. I remember even trying to trade food stamps for theirs. And now as an adult who's saved every penny, he has made able to enjoy something that he loved since childhood. Now as a grown man, it's like buying back a piece of something I could never have, even though he's buying it at like 5,000
extraordinary prices. Yeah.
That's
what happens though. That's how the market prices of this stuff go so high. Not just Pokemon, but you know, sport. It's been happening in sports cards every year. You know that we've been doing it, and to an extent, Pokemon has been like that for the last like I said, the last show. It's been happening every year that I've been following Pokemon, and it's just it's pretty amazing to me too, because bouncing off the Logan Paul thing, you know how he opened up the packs last Friday for a bunch of people. One of the financial guys that I follow who has 2 million view, 2 million followers on YouTube, Stephen Graham.
Yeah, he made a video about it.
When I saw that video, and I was like, Stephen Graham bought into the Pokemon pack with Logan Paul. And I've been watching this guy for financial advice for like years, right? It just made me happy, because I was like, dude, this is, you know, it's just another, it just keeps growing and growing. So,
well, and you know what? I didn't even think about it, and they may have been sold out when we were talking about it. There's actually like other Pokemon YouTubers that just reviewed it, mm-hmm. and then they have 500,000 views. So they bought the pack, talked about their pack. And it's almost like, you know, with whatever money they made in the video, you know what I'm saying? And then whatever they got.
That's the community. So now that's the whole, then you got to start getting into the YouTube community, where the YouTuber, the legit ones with millions of, like, it's, you know, like they know how to monetize these type
right.
of things.
Exactly. So then, like, they get in for maybe only a couple thousand after the money they made on the,
exactly.
On,
like,
on the advertising.
Like, just going back to Stephen Graham, when he bought his Tesla, the amount of money he made from his YouTube video that he bought a Tesla was like five times what he paid for the Tesla.
Crazy.
You see what I mean? So yeah. It's like they know how to monetize. So like when I was talking about last week about Logan Paul, like I was like, yeah, he's making money off the packs, but it's more, it's much more than that. It goes beyond like just making money off the packs.
Well, I heard something weird did happen during the actual break, and I haven't watched it to confirm, so this is alleged, but I heard some comments that he did the random, you know, and you guys that are familiar with breaks, you know how, you know, things are, have to be 100% transparent. Anything goes wrong, you know, there's some questions to be had. I heard that he went out of order from his random, maybe not on purpose, probably by mistake, because there's a lot of moving parts, and somebody got like a $20,000 card out of order. So just imagine if that happened in a card break. I mean, that would be
big news.
Big news, and probably the death of said breaker, or at least
yeah,
a lot of negative,
as a scammer.
A lot of negative press for you as a breaker, regardless if you did it or not.
That's what I was saying on the stream when it happened, because Jeff was like, "Oh, he did the pack out of order." I was like, "For somebody like Logan Paul, it's not going to be a big issue. Like, he's going to be able to cover if somebody raises an issue about that. But for if we did that, it'd be done. It'd be over."
I can't believe we're talking about Pokemon again.
I know, 3 weeks in a row.
3 weeks in a row.
It may trend higher than the Lonzo Ball.
I gotta be positive. It's cool, man. Logic, bro. Yeah.
You know, you love Logic. You love Logic.
I don't dislike Logic. I don't know. Is it a fad with Pokemon? Pokemon, right?
I mean, it seems like it's the start of it. I don't know when the fad's gonna end, but I think
a
with
fad?
This.
Yeah, I mean, are we just riding? Is it just another wave? Are we just riding another wave that's going to be brief, and in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 months, whatever, like, people are going to just forget about it. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the longevity is of what. I mean, people's attention span is like minuscule now. So
no, right,
I don't know.
I get it. But in my opinion, what's happening with Pokemon is the same thing that happened to all of us with sports cards, where it's something that we remember we like doing as kids, right? And we realize, you know, this is like it could become a big business with the way cards are, the way with autographs and relics and things like that. And now these kids, these guys who have a lot of money, are able to do this. You know, like what Logic was saying, he's able to like, actually afford these now that they're, you know, like even if he was just coming in and it wasn't as popular as it is right now, it'd still be more expensive than it was in 1999, right?
Yeah, what is
he probably wouldn't have bought it if it wasn't for
what's
the
going down right now with these kids who are like 27 to not kids, these young adults that are 27 to 30 years old, which would have been, they would have been in like probably middle school during the craze of Pokemon, right? Now, like, it's pop culture, it's in the forefront. Everybody is probably going to their parents' house and digging up their Pokemon binders. Yeah. could the market get flooded with some of these? Could the market get flooded with some of these Charizards and stuff like that? Because everybody is going back and looking for them now.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to get flooded. One thing I do want to add to this conversation as well is that Pokemon itself will never be a fad because it is already a global brand. It's the one of the most popular kids brands in the world. It's something that's never going to die, especially off backing from Nintendo. Nintendo knows how to basically run their franchises forever. Look at Mario, right? So that's one thing. The one thing I do fear is that because it is generally like it's the same thing that's happening with sports cars where it's getting so expensive now, right? The normal person can't afford majority of the boxes, just to straight up to buy the boxes. And then now, you know, you obviously have millions of kids who love Pokemon. They buy the video games, they play the video games, they open up, go to Target, Walmart, buy the cards. We have people now going to Walmart and Target out, clearing out, like if it's a popular Pokemon set, just like they're clearing out the basketball boxes. So that I do fear from that aspect, like what is going to happen to the kids in that situation? Because this Pokemon actually is a kids thing.
Well, and one thing to keep in mind is that you look at each sport, and there's like 30 to 40 releases, probably more now.
Yeah,
Pokemon releases 4 a year, so there's only 4 every year now.
Main releases.
Main release, right? So then, but there is like massive print runs on these. I mean,
massive print run.
Champions Path, there's like another wave coming. I mean, they make so much that they can't even release it all at once. It takes a while for them to put more out there. So
yeah,
4 releases a year. I mean, one thing you got to think though, the nostalgia goes in cycles. So now you have the 10 and 9 and 8 year old kids that are looking at Logic, that are watching Logan Paul, and then when they get 30, I mean, well, who knows what Charizard's going to be then? Then it's going to be a $500 to $1 million card, right? But then that's going to recycle it because then they have money and they remember their childhood, and all it takes is whoever YouTuber in 2040 to do like something like this or somebody on TV, whatever. And it's just going to recycle. Same thing with sports cards is happening.
I'm just bummed. I'm bummed that, like, we didn't get the Pogs craze. The Pogs never came back.
That's what we got. We got to start buying.
No, like, but we missed it, though.
They tried.
They missed it. But you know what could be coming back? And I don't know if it's really gone away, but Beanie Babies. Beanie Babies could also be coming back. I don't know why you. No. Why? Why? Because you weren't into it?
Yeah.
No, I mean, Beanie Babies come back.
What I do see with if you want to compare Pokemon with sports, you're seeing this kind of artistic craze, right? So people are using the Pokemon as art now. So instead of buying, like, you know, painting for $200,000, they're buying a Charizard for $200,000, or they're buying a Kaboom, or they're buying a 86, 87 Fleer. That is like the new art thing. So that's what makes me fear about autographs, which is still obviously autographs are holding their value. And it also makes me worry about the overproduction of sports cards is because they're not numbered. So people are going after stuff that's not numbered anymore. So because it's artistic. Look at the Marvels. I mean, the Marvel cards. I mean, look at people like this flashy stuff. And I think that goes along with the Pokemon.
Yep.
You know,
I agree.
Well, let's get into sports cards. Let's talk about some guys that are on the rise and if you should buy or if you should sell. And I want to hear you guys' comments, not only on the live feed, which, by the way, if you're watching this on the video, we do this live every Wednesday at 3:30 Pacific. And you can also catch the audio version on any podcast network. If you're driving in your car, at the gym, whatever, you can listen to this on the audio and you can watch it on our Mojo Break Media channel. But Justin Herbert, obviously, huge game. Disappointing loss at the end there. Thought they had it. But Drew Brees comes through and wins the game. And you got Randy Arozarena. I'm still working on his name.
Arozarena.
Arozarena, Razor up 2-0. And you got DK Metcalf, who had a big game-winning catch on Sunday Night Football, which actually had more viewership than the NBA Finals, was that Seahawks-Vikings game. So we're going to look at Justin Herbert's cards. You've got some gold Prism autos at $2,700. You got a cracked ice college that sold for $2,500. Do you guys think this guy is the real deal? And what do you think his status is in 10 years?
Well, Doug, let me tell you. I don't know.
He is in your division, C-Rad. What do you
I'll say he's the best. He's the second best quarterback in the AFC West behind DC. You know,
nothing wrong with Silver.
Yeah, second best. Second best. I've watched a majority of the first 5 weeks of Herbert's game. Actually, he's been only played. This is only the third game, right? This past weekend, I've seen all the games he started. He looks to be the complete quarterback. Yeah. I think in 10 years he should be one of the he may be one of the elite quarterbacks in the league, in my opinion, in 10 years.
I mean, the Chargers always seem like one of those teams. You had Phillip Rivers, who yeah. was, you know, probably a Hall of Famer even without getting a Super Bowl win. I always feel like the Chargers are mismanaged. You know, like they're never getting the right pieces there.
Aren't the Chargers 1-4?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. He's great.
I mean, Peyton Manning had a terrible rookie season.
But yeah. I'm like, I get he's putting up good stats, but he ain't winning games.
Yeah.
So let's pump the brakes. Most of the greatest ever to do it. But
second best quarterback in the AFC West, bro.
You know, let's have him win some games. I need some victories under that belt.
Yeah, for me, like I don't look for rookies. I don't look at the wins too much. I enjoy watching him play. When they play us, obviously I want them to lose, but so far so good to me. He looks pretty good. He looks like he has all the tools, like I said.
He's got a 72% completion rating percentage, which is, you know, 70% of his passes are being caught. I mean, he does have some decent receivers. 931 yards, 5 touchdowns, 3 interceptions with 102 rating. So if he ends the season with 102 rating, then he's probably, if not number one, he's in the top 5. So that is a pretty incredible start. Yes, they've lost more games than they've won.
They're 1-4.
They've lost some.
They're
close
in
games
last place.
I mean, nobody expected the Chargers to be really good. I think they have a great defense with Bosa and Ingram and that defense. But I don't know. I think he's the real deal. I love that. And we mentioned this on the Blitz once again. Another plug for Mojo Break Media. Watch our weekly NFL show. But I think the kid has guts. I mean, that's one thing that you can't teach. Like. Love Alex Smith. I think he's a very serviceable player. But Alex Smith.
Oh, that was a great storyline over the weekend.
It was a great storyline over the weekend. But when Alex Smith was in his rookie campaign in 2005 when he was on the Niners, he would do one of those things that if he didn't see anybody open, he would roll out and he would throw it out of bounds. He just didn't have the guts. And that's what I see with Justin Herbert is he has the guts. He has the football IQ to see receivers and stuff develop as a rookie. So I think if you get some talent around him, I think he does get a couple chips. So, but you know, who knows how long that Chargers team, and they don't even have a home stadium. They're basically roommates.
I thought that was their stadium, but it's actually the.
Oh
Rams
yeah, it's not their. It's not their stadium.
It's a nice one though.
It's a great stadium. It's a great stadium, but yeah, they. They're renting a room there.
Yeah, exactly.
I think he looks pretty good, man. From what I've seen so far,
he looks good. But I need more W's. I need more wins. What really? If you go back to 18 with Baker, Baker was winning games. That's why you saw a spike in Baker Mayfield's cards. He was winning games.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert needs to win games. His cards are already spiking. I don't understand. Do people not know? I mean, they have been in every game. They could very easily be, you know, 3-2. I don't think they'd be like 4-1, but they can be very easily be 3-2.
Yeah.
And that would maybe justify his card prices, but a 1-4 team.
Yeah. I mean,
his,
I think
$2,500 for a mosaic auto.
Let's think about it this way, because we always talk about this. You know, Mahomes is the highest selling guy in football, right? Behind, of course, like Brady.
Yeah.
And when Mahomes came in, he came into a system and a team that was like
ready to go.
Most of these rookies, they're coming into a team. You were one of the best players in college. Your reward is being on one of the worst teams in the NFL next year.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know what I mean? Like, I think people think he can be somebody like Patrick Mahomes. That's why you see the prices the way they are.
Yeah, and that's a great point. I mean, you're usually every situation, unless you get lucky and get a guy in the 30th pick, that means he's a backup to somebody else, like a Jordan Love situation, right, for Aaron Rodgers. But this guy's thrown into a situation where, you know, they have Austin Eckler. Eckler got hurt. I mean, their receivers are decent.
I think the line
needs some help.
They have a good team.
They have a decent
team. They're dealing with a lot of injuries.
They have
though.
A good team. I mean, Derwin James is out for the year. Yeah. They have a really good team. And he wasn't. I want to say Herbert was like the 8th pick. So it's not like they had like a top 3 pick with them. 8th pick. I mean, they were competitive last year. I think probably, 6-10? Something like that.
Yeah.
So they weren't terrible. I don't know. Like, I think we got to – I think right now it has to be a wait. I mean, I like Herbert. It was kind of the same thing, and I go back to Baker Mayfield in 2018. I liked Baker Mayfield. I didn't like how crazy his prices were.
Mm.
I like Justin Herbert. I don't like where his prices are.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's falling into the hype. Like, it's absolutely Zion and Ja prices at this point. And we'll see. I mean, so let's talk about baseball. Let's talk about a guy that has cards on two different teams, who's on the Rays now, who's had an incredible postseason. Looks like if it ended right now, they're moving on to the World Series. Obviously, there's more games to play. But Randy Arozarena. Once again,
A Rosarena.
Yeah.
It's like a rose.
A rose?
A kiss from Zarena. A rose.
Okay.
A kiss from a rose.
I'll picture Seal's
just
face.
Just Seal.
Seal's face. But his cards are on fire. The kid's 25 years old. You can see a Ben Baller Red Refractor base, number 5, sold for $1,300. A chrome orange auto was best offer accepted at $1,000, and a gold vinyl sold for $1,000. This guy is what people are talking about right now.
That's what winning in the playoffs will do for you, huh?
Did we not say it? It's Justin Herbert, correct? It's Herbert.
I call him Sherbert.
It's Herbert.
Soft like ice cream because he's Herbert. In the AFC West, and the Raiders are obviously the best team in the AFC West. So
it does rhyme at Sherbert.
Justin Sherbert, good job. You're doing a great job, Sherbert.
Sherbert. Sherbert sounds pretty good right now, by the way. But Bobby's and Ball Card says, Arozarena, horrible, but he's played 42 regular season games. It will be 26 entering next season. I'm not buying into the hype of him. I think you absolutely sell right now. The Rays, you know, it's funny. When you think about the Rays, you don't think – but they've been consistent for the last – I don't know, 10, 11 years, dating back to when Longoria was a rookie. They've always been pretty, you know, there for the playoffs. They haven't got the championship, but, you know, they may get one this year. Who knows? But I don't know. I don't think I've seen enough of this guy. He's obviously hit some pivotal home runs, but I got to see him long-term to be paying these prices. So I'm absolutely selling this guy.
So these are the type of moments where in baseball collecting, you're like, you're getting lucky. So you should probably sell this cat because – all year long, when people hit the Arozarena, people were like, "God damn, why did I get another Arozarena, bro?"
This is similar to Aquino last year.
Yeah,
definitely sell on Aquino last year. I sell on Arozarena. I do like where the Rays are headed. Wander Franco gets in that lineup, and they got a good young squad.
Yeah, yeah. But does the moniker of the Rays car? I mean, think of a Rays prospect besides Wander Franco over the years that have sold. Even Longoria never really reached the Wander Franco.
We don't know where the super fractor is.
Yeah.
It's never been pulled.
It's never been pulled. It's a mystery. One of the biggest mysteries of the hobby. So, yeah, he does have a nice signature. He puts a little smile every time. And then we're getting close on time. We got some breaks coming up, so stick around for those. But we wanted to talk about DK Metcalf. And I know receivers don't always amount to quarterbacks, but you're not buying any Russell Wilson cards at the prices they're at. So can DK Metcalf be a solid investment? He's a big dude. He made some acrobatic catches over the weekend, made a game-winning catch, pivotal catch on that drive, then the game-winning catch. Do you think DK Metcalf can be one of the receivers that bucks the trend?
The correct statement for me to say here, and I'm not going to do it. It's low-hanging fruit, but saying I don't know.
You've already used it twice.
I've already used it twice. I can't do it. I can't
field those angry emails
I can't troll anymore. I've been trolling for about 45 minutes. So, DK Metcalf, again, don't like where his prices are, but I do think he's going to be one of the best receivers in the league in the next year or so. He's the changing of the guard when it comes to D-Hop. D-Hop was the best receiver in the league. The next guard will be DK Metcalf.
I love to see the wide receivers get some shine in the hobby, you know what I'm saying? So I think he definitely could be a good investment right now. You buy him up, you know.
And they're 5-0.
Yeah,
so.
But it look at the prices. Like, I think you've already missed the boat. You needed to be buying up DK Metcalf last year.
Yeah.
You can't get in this late in the investment game and try to make money. You can't. $2,000, that's the ceiling. I mean, it could really only go down from there.
For
a receiver. Again, for a receiver. This is not a quarterback. This is a receiver.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know what they actually sold at.
I mean, go back and look what 2013, what D-Hop was selling for.
Yeah, he still sells for nothing. He sells for nothing.
So the best receiver in the league for the last, you know, almost decade.
But the game is changing.
Yeah.
But it's not, though. Because in 2 years, we're going to be like, man, DK Metcalf is the best receiver in the league. But there's this new flashy, shiny guy who got drafted. I'm going to put all my money into him. Maybe. And DK Metcalf's awesome. But I'm going after the new shiny.
Well, a recent D-Hop sold for $350 PSA 10 Prism. So I mean, there is that's more than I expected. But
the cards you were just showing were $2,000.
I know. Let's look at 2019 DK Metcalf Prism, and then we're gonna end the show because we got some breaks.
We're gonna rip the cable right out of the mic and call it a day.
Base $44 on DK Metcalf. Let's see what we got on Prism Silvers, because Silvers are rare, so they should be probably over 1,000, I would think, based on the prices that we're seeing. And I can't even find one. That's how rare they are. So something to consider. I mean, you mentioned D-Hop, and the point I wanted to make is that collecting sports cards is about, obviously, the talent level of the athlete, but it does also have to do with how many collectors are collecting in that time period. So in 2013, not that many people were collecting cards. So everybody jumped back in. They're seeing DK Metcalf. They realize his rookie was last year. I think that has a lot to do with it. Right or wrong, is D-Hop better than DK Metcalf? Absolutely. But the amount of collectors that are buying now outweighs the amount of collectors are buying in 13. So there's less demand.
I just go back to the whole, there's going to be another receiver that people are going to gravitate towards, and they're going to forget how great DK Metcalf is, even though he could be the best receiver in the league. It's always the what-if factor of the new rookie, of the new, like, prospect coming up. Like, it's always the what-if factor. Like, what if this is going to be the greatest player ever I need to get in? And you're not alone thinking that way. That's why the prices go up and they go through the roof.
But, you know, you guys, all you guys in the chat are absolutely correct. Even Calvin Johnson doesn't sell. Devontae Adams, Jeff points out in the chat, for the Green Bay, one of the best receivers in the league, doesn't sell. Signs say that, yeah, if you have a low number DK Metcalf, like what we showed on these eBay auctions, you probably should sell. You probably should. He just had a huge game Sunday night under the lights. People watched that game more than they watched the finals before, you know, they watched that football more than they watched basketball. So, you know, maybe it's time. But one thing to consider for you guys that have been around as long as we have, all that past data, throw it out the window, because a lot of it's not relevant anymore. When it goes back to us being normal, when we don't have all these noobs coming into the hobby, the wide receiver argument is valid. But I think right now, the way the hobby's going,
the stories can change at any
stories
moment.
Change. Yeah. So that's the only thing I'm saying. Was it Bobby's Ball Cards made a great point in the chat. It's one of the things that I do is collect the legends. You collect the legends. It's one of those things that doesn't really – It's not going to get you like, whoa, he has a big game and it's going to double. These legends, their values are already there, and you're not going to lose. You know, if anything, it's going to continue to go up. But that's for a whole other segment. We may make another video about that. But anyways, that's it for today. Make sure you follow us at Mojo Break M on Twitter for our Mojo Break media content. For the breaks, mojobreak.com. Everything is scheduled on mojobreak.com. So if you're looking to get into a break, we're doing all sports. We're even doing soccer breaks now, guys. So we got hockey, soccer, basketball, baseball, football, every new release on release day. Everything is guaranteed to fill, and everything is scheduled. So you can see when your break is going to break. Most breakers aren't doing that right now. So you don't know when your stuff's going to break. You give them your money, and then you wait weeks for your cards to get busted. And most of the time, it's probably only retail products as well. So check out mojobreak.com. Get into a break, and you'll see C-Rad pulling that fire for you. So, all right, guys, we'll see you later on next week's Hype 160 coming up. Peace.